What's up, y'all? This is Tony Powell, and you're listening to Powell to the People, the podcast, episode 275. Once again, the finest crew in the whole podcasting universe has proven to be solar eclipse proof as we're back. When I want to know what's going on with anything New York City transit related, there is absolutely no expert I have more trust in than my cousin, Mr. Keith Powell. What's going on?
I am good, and it's great to be here with my family once again.
And when I want to talk local TV news, there is absolutely nobody I would rather talk to than my favorite director, who happens to be my favorite brother, Mr. Mark Powell's in the house. What's going on, Mark?
What's up, fam? What's up, world?
And when I want to talk local New York City real estate, or when I'm having a crisis of conscience and I want answers to the events going on in the world, there is absolutely nobody I have more faith in than the man they call Eddie Kane Jr. His flock, his church, his choir refers to him as the Reverend Dr. Derek Powell. What's going on, DP?
Everything is good. Always good to be in the cypher with you cats. How y'all doing?
We're good. As I mentioned, you know, I guess the big news in the United States today is we had a total solar eclipse. The next one is not due for another 20 some odd years, so probably won't catch that one. But I saw this one today, which was fascinating. You know, somebody loaned me a pair of these glasses. You know, I mean, for those of you who looked up at the sky and stared into the eclipse because you didn't have the glasses, I'm sorry you did that.
We are blind now.
Yeah, so when you get that guide dog, get yourself a German Shepherd. Not to say that the Labrador Retrievers are not good dogs. It's just that when you have a German Shepherd, most people cross the street, so you ain't got to worry about bumping into them as that dog leads you down the street. But it is cool. I looked through the eclipse glasses, and I got to tell you, it was really neat watching the moon transit across the sun. We've seen it in the books. We see, you know, the diagrams and everything else, but to actually see it happening. And then I thought about why ancient peoples were throwing virgins into volcanoes and freaking out, because it is something that it's wild to imagine. It's wild to understand. And if you have no scientific understanding, I can imagine it would certainly, you know, cause some issues. But we got through that. And you know, it happened on 4/8, which is the exact number that the earthquake was on Friday of last week in New York City. It was a 4.8 on the Richter scale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's that numerology going on. So you got a 4.8 for the solar eclipse, and you got a 4.8 for the earthquake. So play that number.
Combination.
48, 24. That's it. That's the numbers for the day, folks. If you listen, that's the numbers for the day. 48, 24.
I think I'm going to play that, man.
48, 24. You got to.
Yeah,
you got to. Pick four, 48, 24. That's it. Yeah. That's the numbers.
That's a good number.
It was a great weekend. I, as I said to you guys last week, I am not a big women's basketball fan. Not big on the WNBA. But I did get caught up in women's college basketball this year. I mean, I watched last year, but this year was a magic year. Caitlin Clark, and I said it last week, is the Larry Bird of women's basketball. She is standalone great, undisputably great, one of the greatest female basketball players we've ever seen. Period. Colorless. Period. Larry Bird, we don't say, well, he was a white guy. We say Larry Bird was one of the greatest basketball players we have ever seen.
A stud.
And Caitlin Clark did a Larry Bird. She dragged her team, Iowa, a program nobody even heard of until she got there, dragged Iowa to the Final Four and gave the eventual winner, South Carolina, I'm going to talk about this real quick. South Carolina, all they could handle for about three quarters until South Carolina ran away with it at the end and got their third chip. South Carolina now, we have to talk about them like we talk about these other programs, like we talk about UConn or Tennessee.
Sure.
Dawn Staley, I'm gonna tip my hat to this young lady, Dawn Staley, University of Virginia grad. Dawn Staley.
Of course, you're gonna take credit for that. But go ahead, man. Any other time you ain't talking about Virginia, but go ahead, man.
But no. That's where she's from. That's where she started playing ball.
No, but Philly girl.
She's a Philly girl. Philly girl that went. She didn't go to Temple.
Nah, she didn't go. They were.
She didn't go to UPenn.
Probably couldn't get
she'd
in. She'd
go to Villanova. She'd go to Villanova. She went to Virginia. That's all I'm saying.
No. She could have gotten into UPenn. She went to UVA.
She
on an athletic scholarship.
Okay. Just crushed your school like that.
I hear it. I mean, you know, there's a lot of shade on a day when you have a solar eclipse. I guess there's just more shade to go around. That's all.
That's right.
So, but I want to give her credit. That team was undefeated. Yeah. They won a chip on an undefeated season. It is a third chip and five new starters. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, the story this year in women's college basketball was Caitlin Clark. You know, can Caitlin Clark get revenge against LSU and Angel Reese? Can Caitlin Clark take her team over the top against South Carolina? Nobody was talking about the fact that these young women in South Carolina were undefeated going into the tournament, undefeated through the tournament, and end the season with a championship. Mm-hmm. Nobody's talking about the fact that this was their third championship. I'm not sure in what time frame, but we know it's their third.
Since Dawn been? Yeah,
5 years.
Yeah, I think the last five or seven years.
So three chips in 5 years, that is amazing. And then to your point, and a freshman shall lead them. Freshmen were getting it done in this particular game. So hats off, you know, to Dawn Staley. Hats off to University of South Carolina Gamecocks women's basketball. You guys were amazing. I tip my hat to Caitlin Clark for what she has done in college basketball. I do not like the all-time Division I score because that's nonsense. There's women's basketball and there's men's basketball. And, you know, Pistol Pete is Pistol Pete and Caitlin Clark is Caitlin Clark.
Right.
Two things can be true. But I definitely want to make sure that we acknowledge the amazing accomplishment of these Gamecocks women and of Dawn Staley leading them.
Yeah, I agree 150%. If I remember correctly, when Dawn got her second chip, Gino was doing a little bitching throughout the season over in UConn, and she told him, "When y'all was winning, you know, we had to take this. You know, it's just the changing of a guard." And as he's gotten older, he hasn't really shifted, you know, with some of the players that she's getting, because she's getting all the goddamn players,
right,
man.
Right.
Ain't no way you could put five players brand new out of the whole United States and some overseas with the tour girl out of Brazil and go undefeated? That's ridiculous. You know, when last year's team on paper was better by far than the team that goes undefeated. It was crazy. Her last loss last year was to Iowa.
Right.
And she ain't lose a game since them kids over there beat her. And what I enjoy about Dawn is after the game and all the accolades, she says she needs to shout out Caitlin because she understands this platform that Caitlin is bringing is bigger than this college basketball game. She can take women's basketball along with these other females to another level. And she says she's one of the future, you know, one of the GOATs of our game. And we want to thank her for everything that she's done because she's done a phenomenal job. But in victory, she still was able to give accolades and recognize this young lady because she understands the platform where this lady's getting ready to go. If she does halfway decent in averages, because I don't know if we realize this, you know, she led the college girls in assists too, not just scoring.
Yes. Yeah,
no. Scoring and assists. Yes. Yeah. See, eyebrows went up.
Tiny Archibald, yeah.
Tiny Archibald's top of the house is there.
Yeah.
So if she can, if you watch this girl pass, she's passing the pros next year. She ain't passing to these little girls who probably was in Girl Scouts a couple of years ago. She's capping some people who can put the ball into the basket now. So that is going to go up. She's a willing teammate, and you got to guard her from where? The logo, because she can fire from there. It is scary. But one thing I found unusual, and I'll let these guys jump in because I know we're going to do this for a while, is on some of the social media comments regarding this young lady who does not control the way the media reports or follows her.
Right.
But when you take everything away, nobody cannot dispute that she can ball.
No,
this
no,
ain't got nothing to do with race. It ain't got nothing to do with race.
Right. That's what
this
I said.
Chick,
I mean,
it, she the hottest chick in the game. I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't want to see her. You know, oh, God damn. You know, she giving it out.
That's, you think that's, about that was it. The point. I'm sorry, Dave.
Okay, you think about South Carolina, number one defense team in Division Women, and she still puts up 30.
Gave them 18 30. In the first quarter.
That's it.
I said,
it just tell you the caliber player that this young lady is. Yeah. And you can't knock her. It's what the media does, because the media always hyping things up.
That's what we do.
Instead of just saying, you know, this is an incredible young lady.
No, I got
you know, she's an incredible ball player, but
yes.
they take it and put it on a race thing, which is not right.
Right.
It's just about ball. She's a great ball player. This is what she does. She loves.
Yeah.
You know, but they change it, and then, you know, now you want to divide everything, and it's sad.
No. Yeah. Don't put that on the media. That was her own crew, meaning other basketball players, putting it on a race thing. I mean, you had Cheryl Swoops kind of hinting at that. You had Taurasi and Sue Bird going at her. It was other women taking her down. Because if you think about it, the media has been just singing her, giving her flowers all year long. Deservedly so. I mean, she's carried a sport. Like Dawn Staley said it perfectly. She's one of the GOATs, and she wanted to thank her for what she did for the game.
Right.
But it wasn't the media saying, oh, she's great, she's great, she's great. Now
let's
take her down.
You watching the same game we was watching the last couple of nights?
Yeah.
The game against Connecticut and the game last night.
You say the media. I mean, the announcers. Media.
Okay, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the announcers, where they were announcing the game.
Right. It's here's what I
must have a different audio, because what the hell did Ryan Rucco or Lisa?
He was on her.
Lisa Loeb talk about her
like,
not
her, like, white or rice. He when they were blowing him out in the first quarter. That's all his. It was nothing about Carolina come back. He's like saying, this is over with. They got this.
Caitlin's going to take them to the problem. How's that taking her down a peg?
No, it's not taking her down a peg, but that's how he's dividing it. It was only about Caitlin.
Yeah, and this is what the point I was going to make before. Yeah. I think that with Caitlin Clark, that's why I used the Larry Bird analogy. Caitlin Clark is transcendent as a player. She's transcendent. Larry Bird was transcendent as a player, but for Larry, and I'm sure for Caitlin, it's just about the basketball. It's just about the game.
Right.
But outside looks at it as, oh wow, this is a white person dominating, in air quotes, a black person's sport.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see this guy Larry, and remember, you know, Magic Johnson is having a year of years. He's winning a championship.
Mm-hmm.
He wins. He plays center for the Los Angeles Lakers in his rookie year.
And they win it, yeah.
And not only did they win it, he had one of the all-time great performances in the history of basketball and playoff basketball. That is one of the, you know, Clyde Frazier is the only other guy that comes to mind. I think Giannis a couple of years ago with the 50 spot and the closeout game. But we're talking about one of the all-time great performances. And then when it's all said and done, we're talking about Larry Bird winning an MVP Rookie of the Year.
Right.
You know, and so I think that's where the story started to become. It became the Caitlin Clark show. They didn't want to acknowledge, you know, Angel Reese, they're the defending champions. You're not giving them any love.
No, because Angel Reese is not the player Caitlin Clark is.
Oh, no, I'm not saying she is. I'm saying that the story is about what you talk about it because they're the defending champions. They're the defending champions. Caitlin Clark, to that point, had done nothing. They win the game, and now you're facing an undefeated team who has two chips, and still the story is Caitlin Clark. They go up 7-0, and it's over. The game is done. Well, wait a second.
It's just three quarters to go. The game is not over yet.
The announcer, Ryan Rucco, didn't give it away like he is saying that the game is over. What he was acknowledging the fact that, she, like Derek said at the beginning, the girl dropped 18 points in the first quarter on the number one team in the nation. And the only team that I think they were undefeated last year until Iowa took him out.
Right.
With a better team skill-wise. I mean, obviously this team won the chip, so you can say they're better. But last year's team was a better skilled team than this team.
They couldn't
shoot. We're probably splitting hairs, and we're splitting hairs.
That's why they lost.
So if that's a setup, coming off the game in which she beat UConn and Paige Beckers, and I know UConn was hurt and all that stuff and blah 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 and that call, but after all that, and in the first quarter against this team, which I didn't think I was going to win, they didn't think they had enough horses. Especially with Cardozo, 6'7" girl,
6'7". You can't do nothing with her.
Yeah, it's just too big, too much. The whole team is big, and then you add her; she's the biggest. So, this first quarter, she drops 18 points. It's like, holy cow, this may happen. That's what that was. It wasn't Caitlin Carr, Clayton Carr. It was like, holy cow, this actually may happen. But the end result wasn't a shock to anybody.
No.
And all year long, we kept talking about, at least the media I watch, I don't know what the hell you guys watch, I know it was Caitlin Clark, it was also Dawn Staley's undefeated team, because it was such she said it. This team, I didn't expect to be this team. Meaning, I thought we'd be okay, but I expect us to be this. Because it's hard. I mean, I don't care what you do. You replace five starters on Pee-wee, NBA, CYO. It is hard to have success instantly like that. I mean, we've just seen, you know, and recently, you know, Coach Cal trying to replace guys every year, and it's just hard to do. So the message was, can this team finish the road, especially because the person/team that beat them was Iowa a year ago when they're on that same path. But when a girl drops 18 points in the first quarter of the championship game, that's going to be noticed like, holy cow, this may happen. If she would have come out and if she would have finished the game, if she would have started the game the way she finished the game, there would have been no words. You know, say we reverse it. After the 18, she went like 5'20" or some kind of crazy number. She was getting locked up.
The little girl was on her.
Yeah, because it's just too much. She had to carry way too big. It was the Larry Bird. Larry Bird had to carry a bunch of guys who nobody ever heard of until they got to, you know,
Magic. And,
yeah, they did. Caitlin Clark, maybe the girl Stokey, maybe she'll make the WNBA. But really, I mean, prior to Caitlin Clark showing up, I was known for having Steeler colors and being a wrestling school.
and great tight ends. That's what they do. Yeah. I'm acknowledging those facts. I'm just saying that the media story, in media, you have to tell a story. You got to frame a story. The story for sports is this is the second coming of fill in the blank. And this person is the one to watch. And Dawn Staley acknowledged it. She was the one to watch. But I don't like that one to watch. We're more, you know, people were more concerned with, oh, poor Caitlin's her last game. Mm-hmm. And not the fact that these young South Carolina women, these freshmen, these kids, and Dawn Staley has won, as our crack research team has pointed out, three championships in the last 7 years.
I mean, yes, it was. If she's the one to watch all year long, when it comes to an end, of course that's going to be the button to the story. Like, okay, her last deal. But how many more flowers can you throw at Dawn Staley? Deservedly so. I mean, this Dawn Staley. If I'm
go to the greenhouse, the hot house, and get some more.
If I have a young lady who wants to play basketball, like there's certain college coaches, men I would send my kid to, she would be a person I would send my kid to because I believe she has the right thing in mind. She seems to always strike the right tone. I mean, you've heard her press conferences are always on point, and I've seen 1,000 or heard 1,000 Gina Auriemmas, and every single one, he annoys the hell out of me. He's such an arrogant prick. I can't stand him. Mm-hmm. But Dawn, I never felt like, you know, that she was ever denigrating to the kids or she was ever not fully grasping the situation. Like, even in, I think the – was the semifinal or maybe it was one of the quarter – maybe the final 4 minutes. And she talked about one of her players in the press room saying, hey, we that's just what we do, whatever, you know, kind of brag. And she said, we gave up a 20-point lead. But what the hell are you guys talking about? I mean, so she's always, you know, the truth checker to those things. And that's how I would want my coach to be. So I think all year long, they were kind of, it was two stories. Caitlin Clark was, if not 75%, it was a 60-40. But the other half of that story was the Moki / Angel Reese story, because, you know, right, there was a duality there where, you know, at the beginning of the year with Moki and Angel Reese, and then Moki later on with this, I'm going to sue the whoever this writer was, and then the Dawn Staley. But Caitlin Clark was the story of the year, and she was for a bunch of different reasons, some of which I don't know if they'll fully admit because that's too dicey.
Now, one thing, and I mean to cut you off, Supervision, but one thing I'll TT, if you checked out TT's social media page today, she posted the CNN blunder where they are speaking about South Carolina, but they got the Iowa's picture up there. So our TT, we want to shout you out, TT, and we love you. She brought it to everybody's attention who's friends with her on Facebook that South Carolina, this is unacceptable. She will not have it. She might go down there and lead a protest. I don't know. But she put it up there, and she was, did y'all see it? You got to check it out. She was strong-willed with this, and she wants Dawn. And Dawn, that's why TT, we're giving Dawn her flowers, power to the people. We are acknowledging her, because you will not get on our case come tomorrow morning when you listen to our podcast. But that's what CNN did. They were talking about South Carolina and had Iowa's picture up there. And our TT, it's unacceptable.
I know it does happen.
Explain it to your TT. Don't tell me. Tell her.
It's to that point. You know, I like what you said about Dawn Staley's demeanor.
Yes.
And it's very rare that you find someone who was not only a good coach, but was
a great player
who can come and have that level of, she reminds me of Deion Sanders in this regard. She's a great player who has an uber amount of patience to coach players who may or may not be at her level. That's really hard to do.
Yeah. She hold on, Derek.
Go ahead.
What she did yesterday, and she said it, she said, even the starting five, whoever's on the bench, she expects the same amount as the starting five if they were playing. The young lady came off the bench, I think her name was Tisha Thompson, freshman. And she is shooting the hell out of that ball, hitting them threes like with no pressure. Like, this is what we're supposed to do as a team. Yeah. And, you know, but she expects that from all her players. You know, she has a personal relationship with them and their family. That's the type of coach she is. So that's what, like Mark said, if you're sending your daughter to the school, that's the coach that you want.
And she's also, you know, she's going to tell the parents and the kids, as Mark said, she's a truth sayer on how she feel. She had a quote last year, man, that I live by, where she was telling the parents and the kids, you know, these kids come down here with these backyard practice habits and got league dreams. You ain't going to the league with them back there. People need to start telling y'all, you know how Dawn talk, telling y'all how good you are. You need to start listening. I'm going to send y'all this quote because I got it in my phone. I was hollering, but people need to hear that.
Yeah.
When you got your parents telling you you're the best thing and always the referees for. When you got the AAU coaches and nah. These kids got backyard practice habits and they got league dreams. Ain't going to happen. You got to work harder. And when you hear it from, and this is where it gets a little dicey for the big guys, but she's proven it. Point guards, guards are better coaches when they make that transformation.
Right.
She was a point guard, a great player. Sorry, Patrick. Patrick was a great center, but couldn't win a goddamn thing with his alma mater. That ain't make no sense. I'm like, and then she comes, South Carolina, ain't been known for women's basketball, you know, but she comes here.
It's a Mecca now.
Exactly. People are, where's the school? Is it in Columbia?
It's near Greenville. I think Greenville.
People going to school down there, that Confederate town. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It is crazy that she can get little girls to go to South Carolina where she has built this mega program. Continue success to her, man. We are giving Dawn her flowers, TT. You got to love us about that.
I'll tell you who else is a great player. LeBron James. He's a great player.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
He is a great player.
But I know where he's going. I know where he's going. That's why I'm laughing. I don't know where he's going.
I'll tell you who's not a great player. Bronny James. LeBron Jr. is not a great player. LeBron Jr. plays for the University of Southern California, the other USC, which is, see that transition?
That was good.
And he's decided that he's going to enter the draft. Now, I don't think he's going to get an agent. He doesn't.
No, he's not doing none of that.
Because his uncle is the agent of all Rich agents. Paul. Right, so he doesn't need to, technically, in air quotes, hire an agent. So he's going to enter the draft, and if it doesn't work out right for him, then he can go back.
He'll be back.
Enter the transfer portal. Apparently, he's going to enter the transfer
definitely,
portal as
well.
Because
the coach left, yeah.
And
where the hell is he going to go?
Yeah, here's the thing. You know,
I know where he should go.
Back
my
to
opinion,
high school. Oh,
you saw that ass. They got him slated to go to Penn State because Penn State wanted him out of the game, but he doesn't need to go there. He needs to go to the University of Duquesne. That is where what's this guy? Joyce, one of their childhood friends, or the coach is now the head coach of Duquesne, who is great friends with LeBron. You need to go there because that's the guy who helped you get to where you know, who played with you or coached you. That's where he needs to go. And remember, it's the Atlantic 10, strong conference, but it ain't the ACC. It ain't the Big East. You go down a step. You get some more playing time. You work on your game. Is he a pro? No. However, like Giannis's brother, this kid, LeBron gonna fulfill his dream. Y'all kiss his ass if that ain't gonna happen. He will play one game, NBA game, with his son before he's retired. That's gonna happen.
You're 100% right.
He gonna have to buy a team, man.
You seen with the Lakers?
You seen Giannis's brother play?
I've seen him, yeah.
Okay. No, he's horrible. Ain't no reason he's supposed to be on that team. They got Adrian Griffin fired. I think when they left, they was 30-13. Yeah, I think they 14-14 now. I'm like, are you kidding me? And this is all Giannis because you can't make that move without Giannis' stamp of approval. They have a Shaq in the Fool clip, and I don't mean to talk because he's an NBA player, on this cat's brother. Ain't no way he's supposed to be on that team. No. Just like Bronny ain't supposed to be on this team, but because of Bron, who he is, Jeannie Buss. If it's a 10-day contract, the kid is going to get it. You don't got to sign up for the full day. You sign up for 10 days, you cut the kid, but Bron gets to say, I play with my son. He'll be the first to do that.
Well, I hope he get that 10-day contract.
He's going to get it.
He can't train worth a year contract or multi-year deal for anybody. I mean, he would if he wants to leave college and just wants to play, then he should go to the D-League is an option and play with almost pros, but I don't think his game is even there. And there's nothing wrong. Bronny can go to LA Fitness or any pickup game anywhere. No. Oh, he can't go to LA Fitness and play.
You seen that boy play?
Huh?
You seen that boy play? And I don't want to listen. I like the and I'm looking at it
on playground to play there.
I'm looking at it a little differently. I feel bad for him because of the pressure.
Right.
He has on him because of his father. Right. That's what's bad.
Yeah.
If let's just say LeBron was an average player, he's in his same years, his same age, there's no conversation about Bronny leaving now.
No. You wouldn't even know his kid's name if Bronny was
because he's LeBron and LeBron keeps saying, he sounds like Bush. He tried to kill my daddy. I'm going to play with my son. And I'm like, yo, the only difference is he's going to get this because I was doing the math. I'm like everybody, I'm like, entering the draft? He wasn't even starting. We'd be entering the draft.
He's
and then
barely
I said,
playing.
Oh, yeah. Barely playing, but it clicked.
4 points a game.
Whatever. It clicked. His daddy.
1, 2, 3, 4.
His dad, that's 2 baskets. 4 free throws. His daddy got that type of juice to get his son on the court. And this is what's bad. We saw what happened with Dwayne Wade's son when he tried that G League nonsense. Yeah. That's just not what it is for you. Right. It's just not what it is. And he had to fizzle out because he ain't got LeBron's juice. Right. But Bron has said, what will happen. He's like, you know, God, what was last week, Easter? He like the Pharaoh and them, you know, let my people go. You know, let it be spoken, let it be written down, but my will shall be done with this guy, man. Like it's going to happen.
Yeah, like you said, Dirk, there's a lot of pressure on Bronny himself. And then the pressure gets even mounted more when he's playing against guys who looks and goes, that's LeBron James' son. Yo, he ain't going to do me in. I'm going to do him in. And cats are coming at him extra hard than they would come for other players.
Sure.
So it's really like it's a struggle for him.
It's bad.
You know. But to say you want to come out and play in the draft, as a father, LeBron James just said, not yet, son. You haven't reached that caliber yet. Yeah. Unless you're expecting something special to happen within the next couple of months, I don't see it. I think his younger brother is a much better ball player than he is.
Bigger. See, LeBron, I mean, people forget, LeBron, first and foremost, won the genetic lottery. I mean, he was gifted with the body of a god. I mean, a freaking nature. Bronny is tall for, quote-unquote, normal people. But he's not some special athlete like John Morant is about 6'1", 6'2", but he's a special freakish athlete. Derrick Rose is another one who's special freak. Bronny's just 6'3", and basketball ordinary. So the fact that he's going to even consider the draft, it's like, come on, man. And what I also think about with like Bronny James, and I think about this with NBA players, because Scalabrine was he's like sort of the model of this. If you're junior, senior year in high school, you figure everybody in the NBA, you're junior, senior high school, at some point, you were the best player on that team. And then you go to college and you can be in the pros. I don't think in Bronny's junior, senior high school, he was the best player on his team. He got into USC because who was his father? You know, it's no kid, no different than Rich Kid X showing up and being on, you know, a school. You know, it's like, Trump went to a quote unquote good school because his father was a bigwig and he pushed him in that school. That's the same thing that Bronny got into USC. He wasn't USC talented to be on that squad at all. So it's unfortunate because if LeBron was AC Green, just a journeyman, good player, but not a superstar, we would have never known that he had a son trying to play basketball. It would have been like, you may know he had a kid, but you wouldn't have known his name. You wouldn't have seen him on Instagram. You wouldn't have had ESPN giving him bottom line ticker updates. All that just hurt this kid's ability. And say this kid was, say he was Jordan Poole talented. Mm-hmm. It would never be enough because his father's damn near maybe Mount Rushmore talented. It's an impossibility for this kids, and then the fact that he's just ordinary, maybe you know low D1, maybe D2, and then talking about going to the league, it's crazy. And then last thing, LeBron being the baby that he is, he can't help it because remember the beginning of the year he was talking about tweeting all that stuff. Hey, I know Bronny can make some of these passes. Some of these NBA guys was doing. Remember that? And then people were like, okay, you know, let that go. And then when people started evaluating the son, he's like, oh, just let him be a kid. Let him be a kid. You were the one spitting that fire, talking about he could do that. And then when people evaluated saying, sort of saying, you really want to look at this kid? Right. Then it's like, oh no, just let him do what he's going to do. Let him be a kid. Why are you guys evaluating him? Because you're the one who said, right, Bronny James can make that pass. I want you to get.
You shine a light on him, and that's what happens.
Now, Mark, before we go, I just got one thing for Mark. Okay. I agree with everything you said except the AC Green comparison. Ain't no way he could have been AC Green kid, because you know AC Green was virgin. He was a knockout. You know, remember that, right? AC was like, himself. Right. AC was saving himself. So you lost me there. I said, he's on point. And then you said, I'm like, AC?
I was trying to think of a good player who had a good career. But
Bonzi Wells. You could have said Bonzi Wells or Sean Kemp. But AC Green?
UD from Maryland. Not Maryland. Miami. Dallas Haslam. I should have given
that. That's fine.
Yeah, AC Green was.
AC Green. Come on.
Those seeds filled in AC Green's house.
Well, again. You guys remember the gum commercial with the father and the son? When the son didn't have like a great game. I think it was Spearmint or Juicy Fruit. And they walking and talking.
He got a good?
No, gum.
Gum, yes.
Right, and he gives him the gum and tells him, you know, that is Bronny James.
Yeah.
Bronny James as a father is supposed to tell his son, you know, you really don't have this much talent, but here's the gum, and we keep on doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Well, and there's other, you know, I mean, that's what they say. And in this case, the apple did fall quite far from the tree. However, in Sean Combs' case, the apple is right in the trunk of the tree. The apple is right at the bottom of the tree. It didn't roll. Yeah. It's right there. Apparently, Christian Combs is now being sued for a sexual assault on a boat or yacht that apparently that his daddy charted.
Boats and hoes.
Yeah, from Step Brothers,
Did he get the picture that said to him?
Come on over, Mark. Say it. Come on over to my life.
That's a great movie that I just love that sign from Step Brothers.
At the Catalina Wine Festival. That's where it happened. The Catalina Wine Festival. Yeah. So, yeah, it's we're laughing at something. I don't know why you did this.
Because Mark did it.
Call him out. Really, really horrible. This sexual assault allegation that is it's going to rear its ugly head. Sure. Again, as I said a couple of weeks ago, it is the drip, drip, drip that is very reminiscent of the R. Kelly, surviving R. Kelly. You know, the stories were coming out, and then we knew about the miniseries or the docuseries surviving R. Kelly, and every week we were seeing more and more, and the onion was being peeled back, and the layers of the onion were being peeled back, and suddenly the picture that started to emerge filled in all the blanks, because we had already seen the pieces. I mentioned before, we had seen the pieces. We knew about the P video. We knew about Aaliyah. We knew about all these little things. We just kind of, okay, well, you know, as you like to say, Derek, step in the name of love is enough to make you... enough to make you forget all that. And this is what's going on with Diddy right now. Sean Combs, the diddler, as they refer to.
Yeah, I see that.
The diddler is in trouble because all of that, the onion is being peeled back. Too many people are starting to come out now. There's blood in the water. And I'm not saying these people are being opportunistic, but after Cassie, the realities of what's going on, and Jaguar Wright, who's been calling it out, and his bodyguard, what's the guy's name? Gene, I forget his last name. People have been saying this all along. A whole lot of things are starting to come to light. I think I mentioned on the podcast a week or so ago, or maybe I didn't, that Diddy's father was an associate of Frank Lucas. Did y'all know that?
I thought it was Nicky Barnes he was an associate of.
Nah, Frank Lucas. Frank Lucas was the one that came and I said, yeah, you know, I knew his father. You know, he used to bring him over when he was little. You know, I knew him.
Okay.
So, and his father was murdered apparently as a function of some sort of drug deal. So his father was, as KRS-One used to say, criminal minded. So again, talking about the apple and the tree. It's not falling far. And so, you know, we gave... The mythology around Sean Combs is that he was this hardworking kid from the suburbs who loved hip hop and wanted to get involved, and you know was willing to sleep at the offices of you know what's his
Andre Harrell, Davis,
right? Yeah, he wanted to learn the business and just wanted to be a mogul. I don't know. Somebody knocking at the door.
Not mine. That's what I was looking.
No, no, no. That's somebody in the basement.
Oh, you let him out.
Yeah, that's a, this that is, this how we get in that situation.
Man, you get ready to catch a case.
I'm dissing myself real quick from this podcast. Get my camera.
Oh, my goodness, man. But so yeah, I will tell you this. If you listen, you know, and it's bad, as we say, the pieces of the puzzle sometimes are in front of us.
Right.
One thing he always said in his record, can't stop, won't stop, can't stop. And then he would go, take that. And then you fast forward to now, and this is who this guy, it's like, yo, he gave it to us. Like R. Kelly gave us all the information.
Like Michael, PYT, yep.
Right, pretty young thing. They give you all, you know, it's there, but because we get consumed and you try to get,
you know, with the music,
you try to overlook it, but now this is scary. Father against son. Does he say, son, you got to take the charge because you younger and you got a lot of life to live?
That ain't right, Dirk. That ain't right.
You know, come on. P. Diddy ain't trying to get locked up. Or does he say, I'm going to take the whole ride for my son? But somebody's got to give somebody. You all got sons. Would your sons give y'all up? Or would they take the ride? I know what Nick, my baby, would do. Lock him up. I ain't talking to Jay.
Oh God!
That's what he, that's what he's faced with. Because yeah, once they get the son involved, somebody's got to flip. Somebody's got to.
The fact that they being the Combs, seemingly have normalized sexual assault and sexual malpractice. I know that's a horrible word. It's crazy. It's like I could. This is gonna sound stupid or ignorant or arrogant. I'm not sure which one. I could understand if this was 30, 40 years ago, where thoughts and views were a little bit different. Like, say, it's like our fathers, where the time they grew up in, where, you know, the barefoot and pregnant and slapping the admin on the behind, and all these, you know, pinching the airline stewardess. All those things were kind of commonplace that we look at now and go, oh my gosh, you're horrified. But they didn't see that as being crazy. He grew up in a time in which none of that was the case. It's like seeing somebody, like if you see a young person smoking a cigarette, it's like, damn, it seems odd. Like, wow, you're smoking a cigarette? I mean, right. It's bad enough if they're doing the vaping, but to see an actual young person smoke a cigarette, it's sort of like, it's like it's a unicorn. It's like, time wow, war. That seems yeah, so like, odd.
Time right.
Yeah, so different times. They grew up in that time of knowing, like, you know, this behavior is not right. It's not justified. And they just went along with it. It's just crazy because, you know, I guess if his father was running with the crew, we just hit the KRS-One line. You know, he's grown up in a criminal-minded environment. He just doesn't see it as being crazy. While to us, we're looking at it as, how in the world could you do that? And even if you, I would say, to bring your son in, but he's, you know, thinking it's not right. I mean, he's thinking it's not wrong, so, you know.
What the son is seeing in the house.
Yeah.
Right. If they doing all that stuff in the mansion, daddy's like, yo, come in here. Look, you know how he talking any old kind of way and doing what he want.
Yeah,
and you think this is just normal behavior and it's acceptable. But now you're getting in touch with reality, man. When you being sued for sexual assault, man, that ain't nothing to play with, man. And somebody's got to roll, man. Somebody's got to give somebody
and
up.
And the issue, I think the issue is the fact that it is a civil case. First of all, it's only a 50% proof
burden
of burden of proof. Burden of proof. 50% burden of proof. In a civil case, the issue is, I'm guessing now, and I don't even know, I mean, the statute of limitations, I'm surprised that he's not that old. I mean, Christian. Yeah. He
could have been a sweet 16 party or something like that. Yeah,
or something. Yeah, clearly something happened, and this young person is coming forward. Like, yeah, he's 26, so it's not 10 years. I mean, whatever it is, I'm not even sure what the statute of limitations is, but I guess the only recourse for this young woman was a civil suit. But I'm under the belief, and I've said it before, if you're engaged in that level of activity, it's not your only time.
No,
it's the only time you may have been caught.
Right.
But it's not your only time. It becomes part of the fabric of who and what you are and what you do. And as you said, Derek, maybe because this is what he grew up around.
Sure.
This is what he recognizes. This is what he thinks is okay. Daddy privilege gets you access to a lot more than the average teenager and the young girls who just want to be around in and around the environment. And some guys will take that as cheddar biscuits, Derek.
Delicious.
Take that as a as a concession, or take that as a, you know, acquiescence, and it's not. It's not. It's not. It's not at all. And it, you know, as I said, this is the drip, drip, drip of this whole thing, and and but, I guess we'll just be paying attention.
Yeah, but as Mark said, he's 26. 26. This cat's not even near 30 yet. And you're involved in something such as this. So, like you said, it's what you see at home, what you experience around the people you're around. So, like with Mark, and we always talk, when a girl says no, that's the final say. Right. Yeah. Now, if you're going to go and push that envelope, right, in our world, but if you're going to push that envelope and you figure, well, of course, my daddy's who he is, nothing's going to happen to me. Mm. This, the world we live in has changed from what it used to be. It's not like that no more. Because they're reaching out to you, your daddy, and anybody else that's involved in it, especially when it comes to sexual assaults and stuff like that.
Yeah, like I said, when it, by the time the O comes out of no, you better be on the dismount out of there.
You better have your clothes on and be in your car. You know,
it should be there. Like, you start seeing those lips on the end, boom, dismount, I'm out.
Well, you know, as I said, this is going to play out. This is going to be the news for the next couple of weeks. As far as criminal cases are concerned, Jonathan Majors not going to do no jail time for his conviction.
That's right.
That's
right.
So Jonathan Majors got probation, and part of the probation is he's got to go to counseling or violence. You know,
domestic violence.
MCU. With this nonsense
for 52 weeks, he's got a year's worth of domestic violence meetings once a week. So I guess that's gonna ruin his and Megan's travel schedule.
That's okay.
He got to show up every week for his hearing, or not his hearing, but his counseling.
He got some real pressure now. He got some real pressure at home. Real. Being that you ain't going to jail, I guess we can get married. I done stood by you, and he trying to. Oh, I got to go to community service. Nah, not today. We going to the Justice of the Peace. We ain't got the honey. He got to lock that down. She not playing.
And he can't lay hands on her.
And he can't lay hands. And you know she got to die, man.
Hey, Dirk, I guess you be getting a call, Reverend.
you come before me in holy matrimony. Who has given this bride away to me? Yeah, I tell you right now, she is talking. I'd have been here. I told you about that girl, and you said as soon as this is over, you're going to get your head straight, and we're going to do this, and I done left my husband, and here we are, and you still ain't go to get this ring, and the Diamond District is in Manhattan, with a lower in Midtown, and we in Lower Manhattan. We could just Uber right on up there and pick something out. I don't need nothing big and fancy. Oh, he going to some real – he probably say, damn, why they ain't lock me up?
Yeah, he could have done it 6 months easier, probably.
Right, he could have done this. And she the one paid. Remember Linda Clifford?
His movie career is over. She has another Shazam 3 coming out. His career is gone. He may pull out a Mel Gibson, like, after about a 15, 20 year hiatus of, okay, fine, has this cooled off enough? Can we bring him back? Because I don't know. I don't know what studio, what director, what producer has enough juice to say, listen, he served his quote-unquote time. I want to bring him in for this role. And what is that length of time? Because is 10 years enough? 20 years? I don't know. I've never been assaulted. I don't know what that level of
Yeah, and I think the sad part for him is his whole future depends on what his ex does. Now, if she gets caught out there doing something else stupid, that might let him off the hook. But the reality is that he got jammed up. And I don't – it's a good point, Mark. I don't know. Ryan Coogler maybe might want to put him in something. But Ryan Coogler's got to get the money, and it's got to be him, and it's got to be Michael B. Jordan who financed a project for him, you know.
He has to go like a Spielberg, a Scorsese, somebody who just says – can say to the studio, shut up. I'm Spielberg. I'm Scorsese. I'm – Lucas,
where Tyler Perry,
you're such a. Yeah. I don't know if he has. That, I don't know. I don't know if Tyler Perry has those that kind of juice. Spielberg,
well, you could put him in one of them Tyler Perry them silly movies he be doing that make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Put a dress on. Okay. Yeah. Well, Tyler wear one. Put a dress on his head.
Just know that his income is going to be dried up for
yes
for a minute. Like I said, she has at least another Shazam coming out and some other and projects.
She has Harlem.
But Harlem. He's going to be in for a while. Right.
The minute- I mean, the problem for him is, hang on, the problem for him is that his conviction is associated with, the in air quotes, domestic violence. Right. His punishment is associated with domestic violence because they're saying he was, even though we watched this video of this man literally running away from this woman, running down the street, and she is actively chasing him. I don't know anybody who's the victim of domestic violence that chases her abuser up the streets of New York City. Right. But okay, you know, this he went, he had a jury of his peers, they saw him, and they didn't believe what he was saying.
It wasn't his peers, man. Come on, right. No peers.
Right. Well, no, I mean, but that's what happens. He went
was
to court
you there? Was you on? Was you? Would you been on the jury? And me and Derek, would we have voted him guilty? No,
I don't think so. Right. We're not,
and you know, I don't lock nobody up.
I mean, so you have to have a bunch of sexual assault actors. So jury. I mean, if you're talking about jury, your peers. Like if I'm on a mob case, I don't know what that world is like. So you know, truly have a jury of your peers, you have to have. But that, you know, so that's a weird term that they use. I understand what they're trying to say, you know, just say, you know, but it's really never a jury of your peers because otherwise everybody would know, probably nobody have any crimes. You think a mob guy is going to convict a mob guy?
Like, exactly.
I don't know what you saw. I think the famous line from Gotti, I don't care if you see me coming out of church with the steeple up my ass, I'm going to deny it. That's how they are.
Yeah. Now, this is what's going to be bad for him. If it holds true, as Mark is saying, like his money's done dried up, living in a house with a black woman, ain't bringing no money in there.
Then she's
drinking all
money.
The Kool-Aid. Don't want to go get no milk. The minute he raised her voice, you know, she come in like, you ain't do nothing. I'm the man. You know, you're on probation, man. You're on probation. And he's got to hear this for the next 52 weeks. You know, you're on probation, right? Now go on in there. Make sure we got cereal and milk around this house, man. You got to get some sort of work. You know, Amazon hiring, Mr. Provider. Shit, man. She don't want to hear it. Yo, Megan ain't nobody want to play with, man. He got to be careful with that one, man.
And that's the problem. The problem for him, the biggest problem is, as I said, I mean, if you're not acting as an actor, you're not working. You're not doing your profession. Again, I mean, as far as crimes go,
at least he ain't got to go to jail.
You don't have to go to jail, but he's going to be in his own personal private hell for the next, you know, few years.
And when you say private hell,
right?
Can you clarify that? You mean living with Megan, or
no? I'm just saying his own private hell because his love, his passion, his livelihood is now in jeopardy. He is not able to earn the living that he thought he could earn.
But he found love
as an actor. And you know,
but he found love.
Did he?
Did he really? There he goes. That's what I want. That's what I want. Yes.
So yes, he started off with $2 million, and as of 2024, $2 million.
Damn.
$2 million would be okay if he didn't have to pay his lawyers. You got to pay the lawyers. Lawyers got some of that money. Yeah. And the lifestyle and
he was accustomed to.
You know. That he's accustomed to. Again, to Mark's point, this man was going to be the linchpin of a series, of big time Hollywood blockbuster movies. Yeah. He was on track to make more.
Yeah,
he was the next Sam villain Shane. In the MCU, and he blew it.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
he was running. He blew it. He was running away.
So, you know, but I tell you, we've talked about, you know, parents and children. Mm. Russell Simmons' child.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing. Aoki Simmons, his and Kimora's daughter. You know, again, I guess this is where you know, we talked about Bronny James, the apple falling Way Far From the Tree. And then we talked about Sean Combs and Christian Combs, and the apple is right under the tree. Mm-hmm. This is another case where the apple is literally right under the tree.
Exactly.
Because Russell Simmons was dating a child his damn self. Mm-hmm. Russell Simmons was dating Kimora when he was 30-something. She was 16.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, damn. Okay.
16. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that this was not a story until recently. I think I saw some video of Kimora talking about it. And now she's revisiting it and starting to realize, wait a second, because there's going to be some, I mean, Russell Simmons has got some skeletons in his closet too. He's like the bone collector.
Russell has no pushback, no comment because of what he done and what he continues to do. He still dates the young girls. It's just, you know, he can't, what can he say? You know, this is what he does. So somebody scooped up his, what in the world does this 65-year-old man got to say to this child? Nothing but get in the bed. Get your clothes on. Get in the bed.
TikTok.
There's nothing. Zero. But she's sore when it's time for a visitation. She's at daddy's house and he's dating somebody who may be 4 years older than you. Well, I guess I'm supposed to date an older man like my father dates these young girls. And now, you know, he's sitting at home like, damn, man, I don't believe my child is dating this old guy. But I can't say nothing because of what I'm still doing. And by the way, hey, baby girl, you want some chocolate syrup in your milk? You know, you know, and he got his little girls around there. It's just, yo, what they said, the chickens come home to roost. And that's what this is a case perfect, man. That's celebrity nonsense, man.
Yeah, no, again, it is shocking. All of the veils that have been pulled off of Hollywood. I mean, mm-hmm. J-Lo is trending on social media because of her foolishness.
What J-Lo doing?
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah. Oh, y'all.
Not my baby. Not my baby.
No, I don't
know.
Your baby is
under fire. You on a TikTok? Your baby's under fire because people are starting to recognize, you know, first of all, she didn't sing Jenny from the Block. That wasn't her voice.
What? We know she can't sing.
No. But she didn't sing. I can't sing, and I didn't sing. But I'm claiming that was my voice. Somebody on TikTok dubbed her
not Jilly a Milli Vanilli. Vanilli. That was
Jilly Vanilli. Yeah, that's what they call it, Jilly Vanilli. Jilly Vanilli. So yeah, it's not mine. I wish I had the artist from TikTok.
That's
been saying it. But yeah, she's, you know, apparently like all of her stuff is coming out. J-Lo apparently. And I don't know. I don't know if anybody's listening. I don't know how she, you know, her people, her mob likes to find people. This is what I'm hearing. I don't know anything. I'm just speculating. And this is for entertainment purposes only. So, but yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the macro point I'm making is that once you start to pull back the curtain on these Hollywood types, you know, you start to see, yo, there's nothing special about these people. People always say, oh, wow, you met so-and-so. I always tell people, I'd rather talk to you. I'd rather talk to regular folk because sometimes when you meet these so-called icons, you find out they ain't shit. You know, they disappoint you. So I'd much rather talk to regular people. And that's what I'm saying. So now you're starting to see they're pulling back the curtain on all of these people, and all of them are starting to show their warts. Part of the reason they get into show business is because they have warts, and then the show business glow hides the warts. But once that glow is kind of, you know, once you get a peek behind the mirror, you see, yo, these people are kind of messed up. Damn. So that's it for her. Before we go, this is the last take. The NBA just announced its Hall of Fame finalists. Some interesting names on the list. Michael Cooper.
Boo.
Dick Barnett, who I think probably deserves to be in there. Chauncey Billups.
Boo.
And who else is in there?
Davis.
Walter Davis.
The Greyhound. He needs to be there.
Vince Carter.
Vince Carter.
Bo Ryan. Vince Charles Carter. Smith.
But now, what Charles Smith is that?
I don't know. It says
not from the Knicks. I know that.
No. It could be a mimic.
No, it cannot be.
In the NBA Hall of Fame, they let everybody in. Anybody who's ever dribbled a ball gets an NBA Hall of Fame. That's how it works. And that's the criteria.
I'm okay. Well,
it's the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's the Nation's
Basketball Hall of Fame. Okay, so what did he do in college that was so spectacular? And we know what he didn't do in the NBA that was spectacular. So
couldn't make a layup. I know that much.
Yeah.
That's why I said, hey, I'll be out there boycotting. Hell no. He can't go. Hell no. But I'm okay with Walter Davis and Vince Carter. I'm okay with that. Chauncey Billups and Michael Cooper, you know, I know everybody's getting in, but I got that's question marks for me. That's question marks.
I mean, they were great players. They were great pieces of championship teams. Right. I never watched a game where somebody said, "All right, how do we stop Michael Cooper?"
At all,
you know, or never watched a game where they said, "You know what? Yeah, we can't stop Chauncey Billups. We can only hope to contain him." I never saw that game.
Not at
in
all
the years I've been watching. So right. I never saw that. And like Vince Carter is somebody you had to game plan for. Right. You had to try to stop him. And so
I give it to him.
Walter Davis, perhaps if you combine the college with his pro career,
and forget about the cocaine use.
Forget about the cocaine use.
Damn, Derek, boy.
Waterline.
Y'all know he was getting hot. Well, we know that. This ain't no secret. Google it.
Yeah.
He was in Phoenix. Snip, snip. Getting it in.
That's why he was a Greyhound, baby.
But even with him getting high, if I'm the coach in the other locker room, I'm still saying, yo, we got to do this when Walter Davis comes across half court. We got to prepare for this. I'm not doing that for Michael Cooper. It's just not going to happen. I'm not doing that for Billups. But look, I don't want Vince Carter to get those two dribbles.
Ben Wallace made it as a defensive player. Ben Wallace made it as a defensive player. And if you're saying, okay, Michael Cooper's defense was
I don't think he needs to be in there as a defensive player.
No.
Yeah, I didn't think Ben Wallace was a Hall
exactly. of Famer. Exactly. Shoot, man. Might as well put me in there.
As Mark said, it's for everybody. Yeah. You can dribble the ball.
Yeah. Everybody we need to it. Find out for the people what the criteria is.
Criteria is you had a basketball at some point in your life. You dribbled it on occasion. People saw it and they said, "That's my guy." Put him in. Oh, Charles Smith was the Peabody's legendary coach, Charles Smith. I don't know who the hell Peabody is. And so it wasn't the
Cam. It wasn't our Charles Smith. All right.
Yeah, it wasn't University of Pittsburgh. Of Charles Smith. It wasn't that dude. No, it's the weakest of the Hall of Fame because there's no criteria that we know. It's not like there's no benchmarks. And I said off air, my favorite player growing up was Mo Cheeks fan. That was my guy. I mean, I figure I could approximate him more than I ever could approximate freaking Dr. J or Andrew Toney, those guys. And he's not a Hall of Famer. So the Basketball Hall of Fame is just horrible. So when he said he's a Hall of Famer, whatever. So am I.
I remember when there was a discussion about whether or not Bernard King should make it because his career averages, I think his career average is like 18 to 20 some odd points or whatever. But when you watch Bernard King, when he was Bernard King before the injury, your whole game plan was how do we stop Bernard King? What do we do to limit Bernard's effect on the game?
Pray.
You had to game plan. And then even after the injury, I mean, he still made the All-Star with one leg.
Yeah. And he said it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, so he had the Bernie and Ernie show, so he had his Tennessee career to go along with his pro career.
Right.
So, yeah, he's legit. But too many of those guys aren't.
Yeah, I mean, no. And that's I think that's the guys sad part. Too many guys are not – what we would consider. Again, to me, that's true of any Hall of Famer. Like, if you watch sports today, NBA today, if I'm watching the basketball, the league as it's currently consists, you know, there's guys you know. LeBron James is obvious Hall of Famer. You know, Giannis is an obvious Hall of Famer.
And Giannis' brother's an obvious Hall of Famer.
He'll be in there. Yeah, he'll be in there if they have a valet Hall of Fame. Yeah, he'll be in there. The guy that carries the bags is the best. There are guys who you know, you watch Luka, that you say, okay, Kyrie, these guys are obvious Hall of Famers. They are the premier guys in the game. Joker, obvious Hall. These guys are the guys that you have to stop. And I hate to start listing people because then you think about all the people you leave out. But I'm saying there are guys who are watching right now that are obvious. If you watch baseball, there are guys who are obviously going to Cooperstown at some point in their lives. They should be there. They're going to be there. If you watch football, you already know there are guys who are going to be in Canton when it's all said and done. You can see it. It's there. But the NBA Hall of Fame every year is filled with a bunch of head scratches. Mm-hmm. You just go, wait, what now? Who?
That guy? All
right. Yeah, right.
Magic got him in. I know that. Look, Magic got enough money. Y'all need to get my boy in, man. I keep telling y'all about this, and this is last year. I'm going to pull my money. And they got
and there's a financial benefit to being a Hall of Famer because you could, I think it's you get to put the HOF on there, and you get certain benefits, whether it's signing autographs, shows, and all those things. But from the standpoint of just being a true Hall of Famer, it doesn't hold water for the Basketball Hall of Fame. Like I have no problem with a Christian Laettner being in from his college career. His pro career was just nondescript. Right. But college-wise, he was a dominant player.
Right. But if you're talking about the Basketball Hall of Fame, if you can say, okay, fine, but the guy like Dennis Rodman, I thought was an interesting selection, but I can't disagree with the Dennis Rodman being in there because when you when you watch, defense, you go, you know what, this guy changed the game. Yeah. And the same thing might be true of Draymond at some point. If Draymond can put together another couple of years without losing it, he might be give or take based on his impact on the game.
But that Detroit team, you got Chauncey Billups shouldn't have been a Hall of Fame. Ben Wallace shouldn't have been a Hall of Fame. I guess at that point, you got to put Rip Hamilton in.
Rip Hamilton is
and here's the thing. Of that team, the only guy who had the best Hall of Fame is Rasheed Wallace. He's the most talented, most Hall of Fame worthy player, and he's not a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. So now, how the hell is Chauncey Billups and Ben Wallace ass in the Hall of Fame?
Right. If I'm correct, Dick Barnett makes the last of the five of the NBA championship that's in the Hall of Fame, right?
Nobody can remember that far back there, Keith. Nobody can remember that far back.
I remember. That's the last time I've seen a championship. Let me enjoy my moment here.
Go back to the library and go to the stacks and look that shit up. Nobody can remember that.
You got Willis Reed, Dave DeBusschere, Bill Bradley, and Clyde. Dick Barnett is the last one.
So you tell
and
me.
He had the coach with us.
He was a sixth man on that team.
On the team. Because Pearl was starting.
Let me go check my movie reel and see if I can figure that out.
Pearl wasn't on the 70 team. Yeah, he was on the
70. Was it Dean Bimmer starting with the first one?
No. Dick Barnett was the starting guard.
Oh, he was?
Yes. Next to the
one. In the first one?
The first one with Walt Frazier.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yes.
Well, then shoot. Then he should be. I mean, that was an all-time great team. And, you know, and if everybody else made it, it made
might
it.
Might as well put him in.
I'm sorry, Mark. You wasn't born in the Joneses' time.
That's right. Old-ass guys.
Well, listen, I'm going to take my old ass on. Listen, folks, if you have not subscribed to Power to the People.
And I don't mean to cut you off. We didn't pick our winner. Because we didn't pick our winner for tonight.
Oh, that's right.
Tonight's the championship. We've been talking about women's ball. I'm going with Zach Edey, Purdue.
Connecticut. I'm going with Connecticut.
I'm going UConn.
UConn, you're the last one. Come on over to the good life.
You know, I was kind of leaning towards Zach Edey. I just don't see it. And when he has to play against another 7-footer, and I think UConn can kind of come at you in waves, I got to go with UConn.
Okay. We'll talk about it next week. Now you can continue on. We got
to
get my way.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, if you have not subscribed to Power to the People, make sure you do. Anywhere you get your podcast, you can get us. Anywhere you listen, you can find us. If you're too lazy to look for us or search us, just ask Siri or ask Alexa to find Power to the People, and then they'll play it. You can find us on social media. Go to Facebook, Power to the People on Facebook, and the action button there will take you to the latest podcast. You can find us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Power to the Peeps, POWELL, the number 2, the letters DAPEEPS, Powell to the Peeps, on X. You can find us all on Instagram, and you will certainly find us back here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. See you then. Peace. Peace.